Hello and welcome. This is the Run Strong podcast, episode 8 with me, Gary House. Lots of you have been very kind in asking for more of these podcasts, but in all honesty, it's pretty tough to get them out because I've got the coaching business to run, I've got the two kids, I've got my own training. The podcasts are great, I enjoy doing them, but yeah, I can't stick to a particular time, unfortunately. I've come up with something in between. Each week inside the Run Strong Club, we do a bit of a live Q&A so the members can stick up questions. And then I jump in the Facebook group and we go through them all together. Usually a weekly thing, sometimes it's every 2 weeks. But yeah, this is a recording of last week's group of questions. Hopefully you find some of them useful too. If you want to know more about the Run Strong Club, you can do, you know, through all the different channels or just send me a message. And I might pop another one of these Q&As up. But for now, you can just listen to our Q&As from last week. I did have a bit of a cold, so you might hear me sniffling a little bit. But apart from that, I think the sound should be all right. Let me know what you think. And if you like this kind of format, I'll add in some more of our members' Q&As. So I put up that Instagram post the other day, and it was a bit of tongue-in-cheek with the caption about me losing, lost mojo, found it again, lost it again, and all that kind of thing. It was, lots of people found the humour in it. Some people took offence to it. I got a few weird DMs about saying that I shouldn't take the mickey out of people's kind of depression through running and things, which, you know, if you followed me for all of 5 minutes, you'll know my role here is to help you enjoy running, not to do any of that. It was a bit of a sideswipe at Instagram mainly, that people are trying to sell a story about their past, basically. And it's all bullshit, and it's taken away from the people that are kind of truly struggling, in my view anyway. But anyway, yeah, what were you saying? So the mojo thing, I'm quite lucky, right? I don't really lose my mojo, and that's not me being some, it's just being honest. I don't lose the mojo, but what I do is just adapt things. Losing mojo is a weird thing. What I've come to learn, what I've come to learn on, I lean on running, yeah? So there's 100 different reasons why I run. Racing is kind of very low down. It took me a long time to kind of realise that, but it keeps me out of trouble. Well, 10, 15 years ago, it just kept me out of trouble is the kind of basic reason. It kept me out of trouble. But so losing mojo, it's usually down to tiredness. I've coached a lot of people, worked with a lot of people, spoke to a lot of people. If you're in this group, I'm assuming you enjoy running, or running is something that you like. Like, I'm married to someone who doesn't get it, yeah? Hates running, she feels inspired and motivated when she comes to watch a race or support and things like that, but not necessarily to run, just to achieve something for herself. Can anyone else see Gary? I'm assuming that people want to run. If you don't want to run, there's plenty of other different, like, hobbies, pursuits, exercise to do. Yeah, I'm not a kind of person that thinks everybody in the world should run and train. What I am a fan of is all the kind of the benefits running can give you. Yeah, because I know what they are. I've been there. So what motivates me, or what happens if I lose my mojo? I have to change it up. I'm aware that if I don't want to run, remember some kind of. A good way to think about it is, are you training, or are you just running to kind of keep yourself sane, detach from work, have some space in your own head? Why are you running on that particular day? Mine's kind of split. Some of the sessions during my week, it's purely just a training session. I've got a goal in that session, and I need to kind of, and that's what I need to do. So sometimes I have to run on a road when I hate running on the road. Sometimes I have to run on the flat when I don't particularly enjoy it. But that's part of a bigger picture.
if I don't enjoy that for any period of time, I just have to change it. And I'd speak to my own coach and be like, look, I'm not enjoying this. But I'm kind of lucky in the fact that I get up wanting to run. If I could run all day, I could. Yeah. And I kind of, like you guys are in here, I've built my life around running. But what you don't see is when I'm not running and when I'm not working, it's nothing. I've got a good group of friends around me that don't give a shit about my running. I've got my family that Charles supportive, but she's not a runner or anything like that. I can get away from running really quickly. The podcasts I listen to, the books I read aren't so much about running. I've read it all. I've kind of researched it all. What I would say is if you've lost your mojo, it's, I'm going down some black hole here before we even get into the questions. If you've lost your mojo, check that it's not, do like a quick checklist. Am I tired? If you're tired, you might just be tired. Yeah. So then you have to tackle the obstacles as to why you're tired. If you've lost mojo because, you're just seeing streams of, like kind of screaming success on Instagram or something, you need to take yourself away from that. Yeah. Someone said something to me a long time ago. Let me get this right before I butcher it. Don't compare someone else's outside to your inside. Yeah. And you know, I'm not a massive one for quotes, but that one should go for everyone. Don't compare someone else's outside, Facebook, Instagram, blah, 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 the run club, whatever you want to call it, magazines, to your inside, how you're feeling inside. Because how they're feeling inside, I can guarantee, is not what they're projecting. Can't remember what the question was. What happens if I lose my mojo? Just change it up. Georgia, like I've spoke to you earlier today, because I would rather be running, but at the same time, for a lot of you guys, just going for a walk will help. Why do I run? Because I can detach myself really easy. Some people meditate, yeah? Some people meditate for hours. And if someone asks me what I thought about during that run, I can't really tell them because I'm not really thinking about anything. After the first 5 minutes of running, I'm not thinking about training plans, no offence. I'm not thinking about work. I'm not thinking about bills. I'm not thinking about why the kids aren't fucking sleeping or anything like that. I can't answer what I've talked about. Walking is brilliant. My usual answer to losing mojo is you haven't lost mojo. You still want to run. It's just that you're tired. So it's tackle the tiredness. And unfortunately, a lot of the problems that we have and the obstacles that we have is usually linked to tiredness somewhere. And that might sound wishy-washy, but that's, you know, I'm not a psychologist. I've just got experience of working with lots of people from different backgrounds, I think. But any advice for treating plantar fasciitis and adapting running? Yeah, okay. So caveat to what I'm going to say to you is, I say it every time, you're probably bored of me saying it, I'm not a physio. He's not on the call. Stu, we've got a decent, I'm coaching a guy, Stu, up in Scotland at the minute. I've never had treatment from him, but I really like the info that he puts out. He's going to come on and do a Q&A for us pretty soon. He doesn't know this yet, but I'm going to blag him onto the podcast as well. So I'll put his link on. I wonder if I can do it here. Anyway, if you search Stu Johnson or Stu Physio on Instagram, he puts out loads of good stuff. He's Scottish, can't understand a fucking word he's saying, but he's a decent lad. So he might give you better advice than me, but from what I know, there's lots of different reasons why you might have plantar fasciitis. If you're not with a good physio, then you probably need to at least get a diagnosis from one. I'm shouting a bit here, sorry. Jen. If it's just mild and you're just feeling it come on, then yeah, you can do some of the typical things that I know, that kind of filling a plastic bottle with ice and rolling and stretching the calf muscles, very important, increasing your ankle flexibility. But what I will say as well, there's usually a more underlying cause. So you have like anterior, you have a tendon running down the side of your shin. I'm tired. So a lot of the time people are overpronate too much, that gets stressed. Yeah, and this isn't me telling you to go and get a pair of shoes to correct this. It won't correct it. It'll encourage it, if anything. But there are some strengthening exercises that you can do to tackle it. They involve a rubber band and step-ups and things like this. But it's if you strengthen the outside of your shin, that's, from what I know, has been having really good results. It's a stretching and strengthening kind of thing. If you do the usual rolling out of the foot and with the icing and all that kind of thing, and lots of good work on the calf muscles, and that's not working, something needs to strengthen. With tendons specifically, if you haven't seen a physio, you've got to go and see a physio, a good one, specific physio. Then it's about strengthening. So you need to strengthen the calf muscles at the same time lengthening them, and those movements. So they still do the dragon's back. Yes. So you're probably thinking of the videos of Crib Goch or the picture of me on Crib Goch or whatever you thing with heights. Crib Goch is the most exposed bit, but what I will say is when you're in it depends how good you are with heights. Yeah, if you're just a little bit worried about it, the kind of the adrenaline and the kind of excitement of the occasion will get you through Crib Goch. When you're on Crib Goch, it's not that bad. Yeah, you'll have loads of people around you as well. They actually marshal it. So that one of the trickiest parts of Crib Goch is picking the right line up to the actual ridge, because you can go wrong at that point. But during it, I assumed you'd be picking my own line up. Yeah, so I thought, right, which line am I going to do? When I actually got onto the ridge on Dragon's Back, they'd marshalled it up. They don't actually speak to you, but if you're going wrong, they'll tell you, I assume. Yeah, so it's really safe on there. There's marshals every... Like, at that point, I think I was going over in sixth or seventh place, and no, a bit lower than that at that point. But there was fucking marshals everywhere, mate. Really experienced people. The cameraman was trotting along behind me, didn't have a care in the world. So yeah, it will take you, I don't know how long it will take you, 45 minutes maybe, for someone who's not too confident to get over it. It's 45 minutes over 5 days, you'll be fine. If you're really worried about it, is you just sign up to one of these walking days that have got experienced leaders to take you over it, and they'll show you the best route. You'll do it once and you'll be fine. I would say probably if you're really worried about it, go and do that first, and that'll tell you. There's people in this group. There's Rob, two Robs, Rob Williams, Rob the Dr. Smith, Ben. There's plenty of you that can get out and go and do Crib Goch. I'm not insured as a mountain leader or anything, so I'm not going to say I'm going to look after you, but... Yeah. Once you go over it, you'll be fine. What I will say is that's not the worst. Like on day two, there's some really technical downhill running, things like that. It's the technical downhill running that will catch people out in the first couple of days of Dragon's Back. Hope that's helped. Best way to deal with a two-day event, 30 miles each day, but preparing yourself for the next day. So you just have to think of it, mate, as in if you're day one, you really have to think of it as you're just halfway through the race. So you're the most important thing will be the calories that you consume on day one and how you look after yourself after it. So planning everything from the moment that you finish that day one to day two is really important. I'm not the best at planning, but that's what I focused on in Dragon's Back. So I could just get all my shit together really quickly and then I can relax. You have to eat for the next day. Yeah, so usually you're kind of in the last couple of hours or something of day one of a two-day race, and you're not feeling like you want to get anything down, you'll get away with it. The problem is you're kind of just increasing the deficit for the next day then. So you have to adapt your running, adapt your pace, adapt your effort to allow you to have a good day too. Apart from that, mate, it's just having, yeah, good carb availability afterwards, hydration and sleep. Don't overthink it too much, because, yeah, a two-day race is pretty good, I think, because you've got nothing out from the moment you finish, you've got nothing else to do or think about until the next day. If you think about it, when you have a long training run and then you go back home, you just fucking lounge around, you probably don't eat very well, you have a beer or something like that. If you're in a two-day race, you'll be thinking like you're an athlete for those 2 days. So, yeah, you'd be all right. The food and the sleep and hydration, most important, though. Let me find the questions from earlier in the week. Oh, Mark. After completing an A race, how long does it take you to get back into the routine of training for your next A race? Appreciate everyone is different. After completing an A race, how long does it take to get back? So, yeah, depending on the length of a race, then will depend on how much time you need to recover, first of all. And then the routine of training, you don't want to take too much time off. And this is something I do personally or with any kind of level of runner. So what I don't mean is going full back into training, but it's go for an easy walk, go for a walk run. If a lot of you will have seen 30 minutes walk run, and you might think, well, what's the point in doing that? It just keeps your body in that kind of mode of a runner, if any, for want of a better word. So you can take it very easily without training. More specific, say it was a road marathon, I would want someone to have 2 weeks of walking, running or swimming or doing something like that. No kind of intense stuff, very easy thing, very easy. If it's a marathon on a trail, you might get away with a week's easy rest just because the impact is less. So it's specific to the A race, but then you've got to take into account things like Georgia was touching on earlier. How do you feel? Are you mentally fatigued after X amount of training before it? Do you need a mental break from training? Then you've got to take that into account. Yeah, that's why it's so specific. If you've taken 6 months out of your life to build up for a big A race and then it goes well or it goes crap, you will have basically a massive downer afterwards, yeah? All the adrenaline, the exertion from the day, and you'll feel a bit lost for a few days and all that kind of thing. And you have that, people call it ultra flu or whatever, if you've done an ultra. It's not that. Again, it's just down to tiredness. It's gone. Now the goal that you had is kind of gone, and you either want to get straight back into it or you don't. But what I will say is, getting back into the routine of training needs to be pretty quick. But the intensity can just wait for as long as it needs to take. And the volume can wait. I like to get people back running as soon as possible, but that can be 30 minutes. Very, very, very easy. Has that answered it? Maybe. The thing is, I don't go on about too much about A races and things like this. A lot of people in this group just have lots of races. Some people have one big race and that kind of thing. There's no right or wrong way. For me, every race I want to kind of do well in, so I plan it out that way. You need to kind of keep the ball rolling, but then you've got to take into account, yeah, mental fatigue, actual fatigue. Are you open to sickness because the amount of effort, all that kind of stuff. A lot of it. Sorry, knocked everything. A lot of it's up there though, mate, for that. Ali. Tricks of getting yourself out running in the cold and dark weather when all you want to do is hibernate with the hedgehogs. Colin, I always try and arrange to go running with someone else when the weather is crap. I'm less likely to find an excuse. Local running club, chat group for this purpose. I agree. Yeah. Being in a group, obviously, that comes down to accountability. That definitely helps. Yeah. if you go to work, if you're one of these people that go to work and it's dark and you come home and it's dark, it's really tough. So what can you do? Usually it's a case of things that have worked in the past. Can you start run commuting or half run commuting? Can you start running at lunchtime when it's light? Can you have accountability from elsewhere? So you can have accountability from someone that isn't a runner. You can just tell someone that you really trust or that you're really friends with, look, can you send me a message or can you have a chat with me to remind me that I need to go out for a run and why I need to go out for this run? Yeah. If you're a good friend, they'll understand and they'll probably help you out. Apart from that, it's, you can go all the way down to thinking, right, think of what goal you've got and work back from there, yeah? What steps do you need to take to get to that goal? Is lying on the couch every night for 3 months through the dark going to help it? No. Are you going to feel better when you come out and it's March, April time and you've been hibernating like a hedgehog? Are you going to feel better for that? Probably not, because you won't be asking a question, yeah? Write this stuff down. Don't just rely on your brain to be good to you, because it won't. It will get tired, like we said before, and you'll go home and you'll just reach for some shitty food out of a fridge and sit down and watch I'm a Celebrity, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with that either. But think of your goal again, work back from that. Is the steps that I take today going to get me to that goal? Yeah, it can kind of be that simple. But get accountability from somewhere. Doesn't have to be a runner, doesn't have to be meeting up with groups of friends. Put a reminder on your phone just to have a mental switch. 100 different ways you can go about it. But yeah, you have to be proactive. There's lots of good things down here, I think. You can get accountability in here. It happened about a couple of years ago. There was a couple of people were posting, look, I'm just posting out here for some accountability. You don't need anyone to comment, you don't need anyone to like, but you just putting it out there in this group will probably get you to do it as well. Colin, any recommendations for some good post-run cool-down routine stretches? I struggle with tight calves and sore heels. I'm thinking, hoping this may down to me, crap cool-down routines. I chirped in it. There is some calf stretching in here. They probably need redoing, if I'm honest. I struggle with tight calves and sore heels. Just do the calf test if you haven't already. So it's basically type in bulletproof calf or something into the search bar in this group. I think there's a test. Well, there is a test in here that will determine whether your calves are strong enough, basically. 20 and above, okay. 25 and above, average. 30 and above, good. You're aiming for 40 plus gold standard, and that's heel raises from the floor very slowly up and very slowly down, one leg at a time. You might have an imbalance, but if you've got 20 on each, your calves aren't necessarily tight, but they're weak. So you work on the calf strength. If you're hitting 35, 40 plus on each, then yeah, it might be a tightness. A good massage once a month will definitely help. Apart from that, it's the normal stretches that are in this, that I've put in the group. I don't put too many stretches in here because you don't need too many, if I'm honest. But yeah, I think they're up there now. Heather's asking about strength training. When to do it, with a run, before or after, separate session, which first? So general rule with strength training, and when I talk about strength training, I'm talking about lifting something, yeah. If you're just doing bodyweight stuff, you can just do that whenever you want and as often as you want. But if you're talking getting in the gym mainly and doing either the strength workout that is in the units on here or your own thing, lots of people give out this piece of shitty advice. They say this is what they anecdotally do, which is what they do themselves. I do my running 4 times a week and then I do my strength training on my rest days. Which is crazy, okay? Your rest days, your recovery days are recovery from running. So going to the gym and lifting is not, that's not a rest, yeah? It's like when people tell me they've done 3 spin classes back to back on their rest day. It's like, it's not a fucking rest day, is it? That is more active than if you just went for an hour run. So you've got to think of it like that, yeah? Strength training is massive, as in it will, they're the foundations of keeping you injury free. I'm mid-30s now, 30.9. I didn't really get injuries until I hit 30, yeah. But luckily, I'd done a bunch of strength training earlier on because I was in gyms and did all that kind of work. Once I started coaching people, the strength training just kind of drifted off because I couldn't do it with everyone. And then I would just kind of show someone and not do it. Then I hit 30, picked up some injuries, and I'm doing it again. And I'm not picking up as many injuries. So if I haven't sold you on strength training already, then you need to be doing it. Once a week, strength training will probably keep what you've already got in terms of strength. Twice per week will give you an improvement or progression. Three times a week, brilliant. Four times a week, you're a bodybuilder, not a runner. That's a bit of a joke, but yeah. If you're doing three sessions of running and five in the gym, you're a gym bunny, you're not a runner. But you get the idea. As for specifically when, this is, I'm talking ideals, yeah? Ideally, you would do a tough running session up to an hour or 75 minutes in the morning and then do your strength work in the evening, yeah? That doesn't fit with everyone, though. It's more important when not to do it. Don't do it when you're on a recovery day. Don't do it after a long run. 90 minutes, 2 hours plus is a long run for most people, okay? So it's more important when you don't do it. For me, I've started telling people when not to do it. Apart from that, fit it in when you can. If you can do 20 minutes of some deadlifts and kind of hip thrusts, just do 20 minutes twice a week. That's fine. Yeah. Okay. Sarah, how many marathons can you realistically hope to do a year without risk of injury? And what's the best way to approach them? Okay, do you want my honest answer? Zero. Yeah. If you enter a marathon, you are significantly increasing your risk of injury. Full stop. So, that's not going to help you though, is it? Yeah, we try and manage the risk, obviously, from my training plan, from the strength work, from having a kind of intervention from physio and all that kind of stuff. So take all that out, and you want time scales. If you run a marathon, a road marathon specifically, I want you to have 2 weeks rest. And then from that 2 weeks rest, you can have probably 2 weeks of building up into training again, like we discussed before. That gives you a month. And then you'd probably want, and to have a decent go at a next marathon, you'd want 3 months, okay? 10 weeks bare minimum for someone who's kind of got a good history of training and doesn't get injured too often, but 3 months as a general rule, plus that other month, so that would be 4 months, yeah? So that gives you 3 marathons a year. If Kipchoge, maybe not Kipchoge, if the top... Think of the elite marathon runners that win or come in the top 3 or 5 of major marathons, the Kenyans, yeah, and Ethiopians and those guys. If they could do a marathon every week or every month, they'd be doing it, yeah? Think of where they've come from and think of what they earn for doing it. This is why just getting on the start line is important to them, because a lot of them will get appearance fees and things like this. And if they're a 2:05 marathon runner and they go and run 2:10, that's not a massive deal for them. They might not have trained too well, but they'll get their appearance fee. You've got to kind of think of it that way. If the best in the world could do it more often, they would be doing it more often. So for anyone else that wants to run more than 4 marathons a year, you're just massive, 3 marathons a year, you're increasing that risk of injury. It's not that you can't do it. I'm just giving you kind of my best advice for that. If someone is doing a marathon every month, yeah, you're massively increasing your risk of injury, or at bare minimum, you're just going to be shit because you're so tired. Yeah, that's about it. That's all I've got for that. Sarah, you race a lot, but we know why you race a lot. I'm fine with that. You're one of these people that races a lot, and some of them are short, some of them are easy, all that kind of thing. So that's fine. We can build that into a thing. If someone wants to do well in a marathon, you need 3 months of training, minimum, ideally 14 weeks, and a month easy before that. So it doesn't give you a lot. That's why it's a tough sport. Like the two marathons, I've done, 4 marathons in my life now, but 2 in the last 2 years, and I gave myself 10 weeks and 12 weeks to run a marathon. Both times, I got slightly injured just before the actual race because we were pushing, me and the coach, we were pushing our luck. Suze, we're getting muddy in the local park doing a free boot camp with the rugby club, with my girls. Club my girls go to be beneficial, or shall I just not? Beneficial for what? Beneficial for running? Maybe not. Beneficial for you? Probably, yeah. So go and do it. Don't worry about going to things like that. I know I might take the piss out of spin classes and cross training and all that kind of thing, but you know, I'm a running coach. If someone's doing 3 running sessions a week, but 5 spin classes, to me, you're not a runner, you're a spin class of a runner. Yeah? If someone's running someone tells me they've got yoga 4 times a week, they've got fucking circuits twice a week, they've got boxing 5 times a week, and they've got CrossFit 6 times a week, but I want to have a running plan for twice a week. It's like, you don't need a running coach. You need a psychologist. My advice, that sounds great fun. Go and do it. Adapt the running around it, yeah? Suze, you get your motivation. Yeah, 90% of you here aren't here to get on a podium in a race. Go and have fun playing rugby in the mud with the girls. When Wilder's old enough to be playing rugby, I'd say Winter as well, but she won't be playing rugby, I know. I'll be rolling around in the mud on a Saturday morning, probably, hopefully with him, and having fun in the mud. Will it ruin my running? No. You just kind of adapt, don't you? Craig, how was Barcelona? I was supposed to run it, but was injured. Barcelona's great, great, great marathon, great city. That's why I did it. Perfect kind of weather for me. Nobody told me about the slight incline towards the end. In the 10 days before it, I picked up a high hamstring injury. Was it a bit longer than that? 12 days before it or something. And then 10 days before it, I locked myself out of the car about 12. No, this the Thursday before the run. So the run was on the Sunday. The Thursday before it, I'm already a bit of an injury risk. I did the local group, locked myself out of a car. 14 miles I did on the Thursday night, uphill to get home. I was injured basically from that point. Flew over, felt all right, felt good. Was on for 2:44, 2:43, which for me is great. I'm not a marathon runner. Until the last 2K, I think, and my arse went. The hamstring just tightened up, and but it was great. I know you didn't want a race review, but yeah, I would. If anyone wants to go and do a city marathon in another country, highly recommend Barcelona. One, because I like Spain, I like Barcelona as a city. You've got the city and you've got the beach. Just don't do what I did. I looked at my watch on the Saturday when I got into the hotel, and I'd done 36,000 steps. 36,000 steps. So, I mean, my coach just went fucking mental when he heard that I'd done that. Because that was... I will try and catch up with you. There's been quite a few new members this week. You'll get a training plan over the weekend. Don't usually try and send them out over the weekend, but yeah, you will have them over the weekend. Everyone else I'll catch up with. Speak to you soon. Have a good weekend.
Brilliant. Thanks for listening to that Q&A session. If you enjoyed it, or if you've enjoyed the other podcasts, then don't forget to subscribe, share it on your Instagram stories, leave me a review if you can spare a minute or two. It all helps and spread the word. The more people that listen to it and the more people that subscribe, the more chance there is of me doing another one. Right, catch you all soon.